Following is an original Dixie Beacon Network program. Live from our studios deep in the heart of Georgia, you are listening to another impromptu episode of Late Night Live with Hillbilly Terry and Brother Ray. Because of the extreme volatility of this program, the following disclaimer will now be given. Neither the producers or this radio station bear any responsibility for incidences occasioned by listening to this program. Be warned that such freak occurrences as spontaneous combustion, vicious and unrelenting hives, and light bleeding of the nose can occur while listening to Late Night Live. Listener discretion is therefore advised.
All right, welcome to another episode of Late Night Live. This is Ray and my hillbilly cohort, Mr. Terry Compton. Terry, glad to have you with us tonight.
Seems like an even longer one for me.
Yeah, I think so. And Terry, we can actually bump your volume up just a little bit if you want to adjust your microphone just a little bit there.
How's that?
I had you back too far off, and your volume level dropped too far down.
Is that an improvement for you?
That's great right there, Terry.
Fantastic. And of course, Brother Ray, I would like to start off by saying, because there's a good many people that are listening to the broadcast tonight who are aware of what has happened with myself and my family over the last month. Many of you responded to our situation in a way that I knew that our people would respond. But the level of response that I got in both support and prayers overwhelmed me. And I will never recover, I don't think, from the loss of my dear wife of 18 years. She was an angel. But it certainly helped to know that I have a lot of friends out there. And to all of those of you who expressed appreciation for what Ray and I have done in the movement with the radio station and Dixie Broadcasting and Dixie Internet and all the other things, you don't know how important that was to me, how much it fuels me to continue what I'm doing. And so I would just like to say thank you all. And, you know, many of you will be receiving thank you cards. I'm working on that now. But I want to say now thank you all for your concern, for your support, and I vow to you that as long as God gives me breath, I will continue this struggle. I will not lay down the mantle of responsibility, and I do so with the strong conviction that my wife was in agreement with me, and that makes it even more important that I continue on. So that's my word on the recent unpleasantness, Brother Ray.
All right. And Terry, I know we've had a lot of our listeners that have emailed us wanting to know how you're doing and everything. And there certainly are a lot of folks that have sent up prayers for you and for the children, too. And just want you to know that we all appreciate you and the children, and we'll continue to keep praying for you just like we have been.
Brother Ray, I'll tell you, as far as my colleagues go, with the exception of yourself, because, you know, you've done a tremendous... A lot of folks may not know that Brother Ray and I had never met prior to this event. And, of course, we conversed hours upon hours on the phone. But we'd never met face-to-face. And the moment that he was aware that my wife was in danger, he was in his vehicle, and he traveled the 5 or 6 or maybe even 7 hours that it took to get to me, took the time away from his son, whom he adores, away from his job, and he descended into an abysmal nightmare. And I don't know if a man can ask any more of a friend than that. And then, of course, Sam and Trish Britton, the broadcast that you had just a few days after my wife's passing, the level of conviction that I heard in your voices has taken my admiration for you to even higher levels. So, you know, Ray, I'm just a grateful man today. That's all I can say. I'm just a grateful man.
Well, and we're glad to have you back on the broadcast with us tonight. I've had a number of folks that have either emailed me or called me that listen to the station regularly that have been wanting to know when we're going to have another late night live and get you back in the saddle again. And so we're glad to have you on with us tonight, Terry. And Terry, if you want to sit back and enjoy the ride tonight, that'll be fine. And but I know you well enough to know you're probably going to have some questions and some inputs you want to put in tonight too, because tonight's guest is got to be one of the most exciting interviews I think we've probably ever done here on Late Night Live. And folks, I want to tell you a little bit of background as to how we invited the guest that we have tonight. As many of you know, Terry and I are both members of the Sons of Confederate Veterans and the League of the South in the Southern Movement. And I had one of our League of the South members here in Georgia that had contacted me wanting to know where they could go online on the internet to find information to give people that wanted to know the truth about the Pledge of Allegiance to the federal flag. And so I put out the word over a couple of different list servers asking for folks to let me know where's the best place on the internet to send somebody. And I was inundated with email after email giving me the exact same website every single time, every response that came in. And so, Dr. Curry, that ought to make you feel good that everybody that knows anything about what you're going to talk about tonight knows that your website is the only place to go to get the truth about it all out there on the internet. And so,
yes,
so I went to rexcurry.net, R-E-X-C-U-R-R-Y, rexcurry.net, and there is Dr. Curry's website with just mountains of research that he's done on the Pledge to the Federal Flag and the original salute to the Federal Flag. So, Dr. Curry, if you would, without any further ado, if you would just tell us a little bit about who you are and how you came to be involved with researching such a very politically incorrect topic as what you've tackled.
Well, Ray, thanks for having me on, and I'll tell you also, your listeners, when they go to rexcurry.net, that's all together, rexcurry.net, there's a box up at the top right. If they hit that, they'll actually go straight inside to, I guess you could call it the inner sanctum, the extra stuff, and they'll be able to get a lot more if they hit the box at the top right. That takes them straight inside. I'm a lawyer down here in Tampa, Florida, and I remember when the pledge started to become, the Pledge of Allegiance became a big news topic due to court litigation in the recent past. I kept wondering when the media was going to start telling us about the actual history of the pledge, and of course they never did. And I kept wondering when they were going to show us a historic photograph or many, many historic photographs of the original salute, the gesture that it was, because it wasn't originally the hand over the heart. And of course they never did. They never will. And chances are, if you go to my website, that'll be the first time you ever see it, and you'll probably never see it anywhere else. But I also became involved in some court litigation about the salute and the federal flag, and it's the more I learned, although I already was one step ahead of most people just knowing about the gesture, which originally used, it began with a military salute that then extended outward towards the flag and into a straight arm salute. And the more I learned about it, the more amazing it became. It actually was the origin of the salute of the National Socialist German Workers' Party, which a lot of people don't realize that's the Nazi party. The person who wrote it, Francis Bellamy, in 1892, was a self-proclaimed National Socialist in the USA. That's three decades before before the National Socialists in Germany created their party. And the pledge was used by him and his also famous cousin, Edward Bellamy, an author of the book Looking Backward, to promote National Socialism in the U.S., and especially in the South, because they were quite proud of the war of Northern aggression against Southern independence.
Now, you
and
did,
they
you
wanted
just
the government to take over all schools, including church schools, parochial schools, end all of the better alternatives, and then use those schools to promote militarism and what they called military socialism, to create an industrial army and to stick that federal flag on top of every schoolhouse so that you'd know who was in control and promoting the centralization of authority in the United States.
Well, I'll tell you this, Rex, you definitely just won over quite a few of our listeners by virtue of the fact that you called it the War of Northern Aggression instead of the Civil War. And
yes, it wasn't very civil at all, was it?
No, sir, it sure wasn't. Now, kind of, you've already kind of set the stage for what was going on there in 1892, the late 1800s. We were already following the period of Reconstruction, but we were very much in that period where the socialist elements within America were trying to totally eradicate states' rights, what was left of it after the war. You've already referred to the fact that the fellow who wrote the pledge was Francis Bellamy. Now, would you tell us a little bit about Francis Bellamy, who he was, and then tell us about his cousin and the book that his cousin wrote? Because I know you've mentioned that on your website, and it's some very important background information.
Yes, sir. Francis Bellamy grew up in Rome, New York, which is one of the popular myths about the pledge and the salute, of the what people think is the salute of the Nazi Party. Some people call it the Roman salute, and that's actually a myth, and it might be tied in partly to the fact that Francis Bellamy grew up in Rome, New York. I guess you could say he was a Yankee, and he might have been one of the original liberals in that sense. And he, and even to this day, it's funny, people still will refer to people from that city in New York as Roman. They'll describe people and things from that area as Roman. It's something they just like to do. And it was repeated, his gesture was repeated in early black and white films, which all, including fictional Roman scenes. So that added to the myth, the idea that it was an ancient Roman salute, which it is not an ancient Roman salute. And in fact, the way it occurred was he started the salute with a military salute for the part that goes, "I pledge allegiance," and then he originally described it as having the arm extended outward with the palm up. And yet, what happened was, if you look at the historic photographs, which are linked through the website we mentioned earlier, you can see that the kids who were being forced to do this, not unlike the way some states still like to try to force kids to do it, they didn't care about it. They were being treated like Pavlov's dogs every morning for the first 12 years of their lives, almost like brainwashing. So they would do their military salute, and then they'd just shove their hand out towards the flag, and they wouldn't pay attention to the detail, the original description with the palm up. So in a sense, the Nazi salute came from the Pledge of Allegiance. It was an extended military salute because Francis Bellamy loved the military. He loved what had happened in his mind with the military and the War of Northern Aggression. And he also had been inspired by seeing Northern troops in and about his community while he was growing up, as well as Edward Bellamy, who grew up in Chicopee Falls, Massachusetts.
And now, Edward was Francis Bellamy's cousin, is that correct?
Yes, sir, and he wrote the book Looking Backward, which was, at that time, an international bestseller. It, was it inspired nationalism clubs and inspired, believe it or not, the Nationalist Educational Association. It inspired the Nationalist Party in the United States of America. This is decades before the National Socialist German Workers' Party in Germany. It was translated into every major language, including, of course, German, Russian, and Chinese, and it created Bellamy clubs and nationalism clubs in other countries, including Germany. Edward Bellamy spoke German. Edward Bellamy, when he was a young kid, had gone to Germany and resided there for a short period of time. When he had his book published, which is essentially the Bible of the National Socialism movement, and became that international bestseller, he specifically had it translated into German, and you can still find old advertisements in which you could select the version you wanted to buy is either in English or German. And I have examples of that on my website.
Now, give us, Dr. Curry, just an idea of what was this book about that was so popular that Edward had put out?
Well, what was popular about it is what's still popular today about socialism, which is they basically tell you that the federal government's going to give you everything for free, and everybody seems to forget that the federal government doesn't have any money at all other than what it steals from you and me. And so he paints this fanciful picture of a utopian society in which everything's free, everybody's, of course, delighted and happy. It's exactly the same stuff that the German National Socialists were laying on their people, duping them into voting for and accepting National Socialism there. Same thing that Stalin would preach when he spoke in the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Same thing that Mao was preaching when he was preaching socialism, and in fact being supported by Stalin. And of course, you know what happened in the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Some people estimate the death toll was three times what it was under Hitler, 65 million. Some people estimate Mao having slaughtered 35 million people, about twice what some people estimate for Hitler. And of course, the National Socialist German Workers' Party in Germany, some people estimate it having slaughtered 21 million people in these glorious utopias of National Socialism.
All right, now let's tie just a few of these things together that we've talked about. Francis Bellamy, who wrote the Pledge of Allegiance to the Federal Flag in 1892, and his cousin Edward Bellamy, who had written the book Looking Backward, both of them socialist. And, of course, the way that ties into those of us who believe in limited government, states' rights, as most of us Southerners do, is that after the War of Northern Aggression had ended, those who believed that states' rights should be destroyed, they were basically pushing the socialist agenda, and they knew that with states' rights still alive and well, it was going to be a very slow process indeed to force socialism and communism on the American people. And therefore the push for a strong, consolidated central government, just like in Moscow. And so they had to do whatever they could to destroy those vestiges left in the minds and hearts of the people of states' rights and allegiance to their state, and create this nationalism, this nationalistic fervor for the central government, the federal government in Washington, D.C. And so that's how this whole concept for having a pledge of allegiance to the federal flag becomes so important. Because it was basically, as Dr. Curry has said now, a good technique for brainwashing good little Southern children. And folks, you're listening to Late Night Live with Ray and Hillbilly Terry, and we're interviewing Dr. Rex Curry. He is an attorney from the Tampa, Florida area, and you can visit his website at rexcurry.net. That's R-E-X-C-U-R-R-Y.net. We encourage you to go there and take a look at it while we're here on the program tonight. We're about to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more with Dr. Curry. And Dr. Curry, I want you to go into a little more explanation about how the salute itself is not, in fact, a Roman salute, but a socialist salute. And so, folks, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back in just a few minutes and listen to these messages from our sponsors.
In the closing days
of the
war for Southern independence, the capital of the Confederacy, Richmond, Virginia, was about to fall into the hands of a merciless foe. Within the walls of the Confederate treasury lay a fortune beyond imagination. The future of the South, the future of liberty, rested upon the safety of the Confederate gold. The Hunt for the Confederate Gold is the thrilling new novel by Thomas More. Within its pages, a story comes to life as thrilling as an actual treasure hunt. The Hunt for the Confederate Gold is available online from FusilierBooks.com. Everyone likes a good treasure hunt. As part of the promotion of The Hunt for the Confederate Gold, Fusilier Books is running a contest on their website. The prize, $5,000 in gold coin. So visit the Fusilier Books website today and join the hunt. That website again is FusilierBooks.com.
Comfort, style, heritage. When it comes to apparel, Dixie Outfitters has it all. Comfort, whether you're slipping into a Dixie Outfitters garment for the first time or the 100th time, the quality materials we use remain durable, attractive, and comfortable. Style, classic comfortable printed tees, super soft embroidered polos, blue jeans, caps, and much more. Heritage, Dixie Outfitters is committed to spreading the truth about our glorious Southern heritage. From the messages on our garments that recall the heroic deeds of our forefathers, to our sponsorship of pro-Southern organizations and projects, nothing says proud to be Southern like Dixie Outfitters. Shop or request your free catalog today. Visit our website at DixieOutfitters.com or please give us a call at 1-866-916-5866. Comfort, style, heritage. Dixie Outfitters has it all.
All right, folks. You are listening to Late Night Live with Brother Ray and myself, Hillbilly Terry. Our guest tonight is Dr. Rex Curry, and we are discussing his research on the Pledge of Allegiance and its National Socialist origins through the Bellamys. Also, we are talking about, we're getting ready to talk about how this has influenced the government school system. Dr. Curry, just during the break, we were talking about John Dewey. Now, John Dewey, for those that are not aware, has played a major role. His thinking has played a major role in the methodology and the of the government school system. Modern government education is pretty much dictated based upon John Dewey's theories. It just so happens that John Dewey was one of the earliest and most enthusiastic followers of the Bellamys and a member of the one of the Nationalist clubs. And Dr. Curry, I was going to ask you, could you elaborate a little bit on John Dewey's involvement with the Bellamys and how ultimately the Bellamys' outlook, worldview rather, has affected government education over, say, the last 100 years?
Yes, sir. Love to. John Dewey was a man who was a prolific writer about education and government taking over education. He referred to Edward Bellamy as the great American prophet, and he also referred to the book, Looking Backward, the Bible of National Socialism, as second only to Das Kapital, which is Karl Marx's book. And, of course, when he said it, that was a compliment he was trying to convey to Edward Bellamy's book, second only to Das Kapital and its influence on the world. And John Dewey actually traveled